everyone. Welcome back to Dad Space, the podcast for dads by dads. And we have a great author on and a resource for all dads, especially those with young children. And you're like, I have this new human being in my home. I don't know what I don't know. And I'm looking for an expert who can help me to be a great dad, a great parent. And you have a great resource here. Michelle is on the podcast. She's written a book. She's got great websites that help you. And she will hold your hand and make you an effective dad. So you got the expert in the room. Michelle, welcome to Dad Space.
Wow, what a super introduction. Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
I read it the way you wrote it for me. I hope I got it all, right? No,
that
I love
was,
it.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. I am happy, so happy to be here. I love, as you said, helping dads become effective dads. That was a really good word that you chose that stood out to me. And some dads want to be dads that are when they're convenient to them. And that's not what children need. Children need dads and support all the time. And being the most effective dad that you can is going to be the best for that little human being.
I love it. And we get one shot at this with no owner's manual that comes with it, with your child when you walk out those hospital doors for the first time, a little basket in hand, and you're like, oh, I don't know what I don't know. And yeah. This is very obvious. So having someone like you is great as a resource.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know what? Even moms have that have that feeling, because that you were just describing the feeling that I remember having on the first night that I brought him home, and I'm lying in bed and I'm hearing him crying and I'm saying, what am I doing? Like the last time I slept in this bed, there was nobody crying for me. Now, and my husband at the time was sleeping and not hearing it. So I felt like, oh my gosh, here I am with this thing on my own. And what am I doing? And that little feeling of panic, because now you are responsible for another human life.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's what we do with that human life and how we help support that newborn that turns to an infant, that turns to a baby, and then turns to a toddler and a child. Those first 5 years are so crucial for input and becoming the effective parent that you want to be, because those are the years that are going to make the biggest impact on their brain development, to be honest, which a lot of people don't know how important those years are. And we want to increase that brain development and increase the attachment that very young baby or infant feels with somebody, some primary caregiver. And it's great when there's more than one primary caregiver that are together and to support and be there in the most effective way, which is how I am able to give some strategies on doing that.
Yeah. And I think when I was a young dad with my first, we have three, when my first one was born, and all through the pregnancy and all that, I didn't understand why parents refer to their children by how many months old they were. Well, I thought that was a little odd. Like, oh, they're 17 months. I'm like, okay, so they're over a year. I'm like doing math.
Right.
I'm like, but there's so much change that happens in that period of time that it's, you can kind of, you use it as a measuring stick to kind of know where you're at and what's coming next. And it's not like the when they're like 6 years old to 7 years old, you don't see the same span of growth over a period of time for as a young dad. And that I didn't understand it. And as I lived it, I'm like, oh, now I get it. I understand now.
Yeah, that's a great description. That's a really good description going. And that's why I said, like, a newborn is very different than an infant, which is very different, you know, as you grow. And then as they become a child, and that child age is, you know, where you're saying until they become that tween and that teenager. Yes. There's a big amount of growth in those first 5 years that we need to take advantage of, almost, if you want to, and really captivate on. Absolutely.
So you help a lot of people, Michelle, with what you do. Again, you have a book as well. We're going to get to that. But for your advice for a young dad, maybe they're finding out this week or this month they're going to be a dad for the first time. They have a ton of questions. They feel a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Can you talk us down a little bit so that we feel a little bit more prepared? What kind of things do we need to know as a brand new dad for the new baby coming into the home?
Yeah. So, of course, there's so much, right? You have to learn about how to diaper them, how to feed them, what schedule and what, how to entertain them or what that is, what that means, and how to bathe them. And so I call it the basics of taking care of the basic needs. So that already is stressful. And you need to learn that. But at the same time, which nobody ever really teaches you this either, is that you need to know how to get to those emotional connections, those social connections. And somebody doesn't think about a newborn or an infant being social when I say that. And so my background is I'm a speech and language therapist. So I've been doing this nearly 30 years. So my focus is really on communication. That's the underlying tone. So it's speaking and talking, but until you can do that, you're still able to communicate. In fact, the first communication from a baby that we're usually waiting for is that cry. We're like, where's that cry? And we know everything is okay. And so that's that communication right from the beginning. And then when that cry comes later on, it's kind of a different communication to you. You're not like necessarily so happy to hear it, but it has a different meaning, but it's still a way of communicating. Yeah. And so that is what I want all parents of very young children, and especially new parents for their first time, but also parents on their second or third, or grandparents, grandfathers, they still don't know this other piece, which is that emotional. We really want to look into their eyes, and we want to connect with their eyes and get that face-to-face connection.
Yeah.
It helps with the brain, but it helps with that emotional connection and attachment and bonding that then you feel for the baby in a different way and the baby feels for you. So learning how to do that, and not just the basic needs, but what comes next after that, that makes this baby a human and who they become, and knowing how to attach with people is important. So it's very important to know how to read and understand those very, very young communication skills that come, we call them pre-verbal skills, that come before the words. You need to be able to read and understand what their body language is and what they're trying to tell you.
Yeah.
So it's important to look for those different signals and know how to look for them and what they mean.
One of the things I remember when we had you on the other podcast, you mentioned about reading to your children and obviously how important that is, but how you read to your children.
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to go into that again for this audience, because that was a really good moment for me to get clarity on the right way to do that and the reason why. There's a good reason behind it, and I'd like you to explain that as well.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I'm happy to. It's one of my favorite strategies. And you're getting it again on a second podcast.
There you go.
You sneak that in there, you little. So I'm very proud to say that I am an author of a book, a children's book about weaning off of a pacifier, called All Done Binky. And my reading strategy, if you think about it, and we're not talking about infants and newborns so much right now. I'm talking more about maybe children who are starting about 8, 9, 10 months old, definitely a year old, is we usually read with them when they're sitting in our lap, and we look through the book that way. And if you think about it, that's a really good way for children to get used to looking at a book and flipping pages and catching pictures once in a while. but they usually flip the pages way too fast and you don't even get to see it. And sometimes you might get a word in or something like that. So to have a better connection with them is to have them face-to-face. I'm going to mention this face-to-face again, because the face-to-face starts from the moment they're born as an infant, and it continues that I want people, fathers, everybody, to think about how you can be more face-to-face in all of your different activities that you're doing. So if you're reading and you are face-to-face with them and you are holding the book up, sort of like a teacher does, if everybody can think about that, teachers. But I don't want that book held out to the side. Teachers usually hold it out to the side.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
All the children are looking at the book at the side. So face to face, I want them looking at my face. That's the whole idea. You want to be able to have that baby or that toddler looking at your face to get your facial expressions. How are your eyes moving? How does your lips look? How, you know, are you smiling? What kind of facial expressions you're making? And how does that word, that sound, look on your face when it's being produced? So if you hold the book up, I say like a teacher, because you're going to open it facing them, but you're going to hold it more underneath your face, if you will, or really close to your face, so that it's very easy for the child who's now looking at you to look from the book and look at your face, because it's right there.
Yeah.
Hopefully that is explained well during a podcast.
I love it. It's a good, and I can remember when my kids were little, they'd be on my lap, their back would be against my chest, the book would be in their lap, and they would continually look up over their shoulder at my face to see what I was doing, because we're reading the book together. But I would say, you know, the tiger says rawr,
yeah.
And they look at me like rawr, and they look up at you.
That's
right?
Good.
That's the connection piece, right?
That's so good. I love when other people give me different examples of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Kind of and bringing in different things. So that's a perfect example. That child is looking up and initiating, wanting contact and connection.
Right.
And they don't want to just do it by themselves. And that's called referencing, is that they're referencing to their caregiver, whoever's reading to them, because they want to enjoy that moment together, that joint attention together. Oh, did you see that? Or I heard you make that sound. How did you make that sound? What does that look like on your mouth?
Yeah.
I want to see that. So that's exactly right. So we would want them to see all the different things that you're doing and reading. If you're reading the story, or if you're just talking about what's happening in the pictures and not even reading the story for young kids, because we really want to increase their vocabulary. And so they can't, very young children can't really follow along on a story. So this is another strategy of mine, is that you actually talk about, oh, look at the tiger. Oh, the tiger is roar, or here's a dog. And so you're looking and pointing out the different things in the pages in the book. And they don't have to crink their neck to look back at you. And they're going to miss sometimes that they would want to connect with you, because they're like, oh, I don't want to look back again. It's too hard. But if you're right there and that book is right there, you're going to get a lot. You do get a lot more connection with that child. And you feel good too, because there's smiles being had. There's more laughter. And it increases the attention. I mean, I can go on and on. How this book reading and these are all different strategies on how to read a book with a young child. So these are for dads who are like, you know, sorry, I'm going to put you all in a little category that I really like shouldn't. Okay. But I work with families, and I do see differences between moms, I would say, who are, you know, female, if I'm going by my generation's descriptions. Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to be politically correct now. And dads. And when I give this strategy to dads and I tell them, don't read the story, I'll come back and I'll look again to see like how they're reading the book and if they're using my strategies. There's something compelling in them that they They have to read the story. And they can't, and I don't want the story being read because we're losing the kid or child. We're not really getting their attention. And it's really about building their vocabulary. We want them to be able to imitate dog, lion, tiger, roar. But we're already on the next sentence. They don't have, can't do that. But so dads will use my strategy, but then they'll go back and they'll read what's on the page. And so I have a hard time breaking that habit with dads. They want to, they feel the need to read the story.
Well, you have a captive audience right now listening to you. So break that. Come on, guys.
Break that.
You can break this. Exactly. Come on, dads.
And then let me know. Let me know how it goes. Because I would love feedback about, I did. I put Johnny, in front of me and it was amazing. And we were able to read the book for so much longer because Johnny wasn't ready to turn the page before I was done. And, and so all the wonderful things that happens from just a little simple reading strategy.
Yeah. And they're pointing at pictures. What's this? What's this?
Yep.
What's that? Well, that's a red balloon.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a tree.
Yep.
It's an apple, right? Like, it's not in the script you're reading to your children. It's, but it's there on the page and they want to know more.
Right.
So, and it's slow down. No,
it's about the pictures and what you can point out in the page. That's right. And you reminded me of something. Because this is another strategy of something that's really important to do that most parents don't think about doing or don't do enough when they're doing the reading. You just said, the child might say, what's this? What's this? What's this? And the parent names it. When you name it and the child hears it, that's the receptive. The child is taking that in receptively. That's great. And that is a skill that gets very heightened. But what is the skill when they come to me and what's not happening is the verbal output then. And so you need to have the child imitate or try to imitate what you've just said.
Good.
Don't let them move on to the next what's that until they try and say dog or rainbow.
Yeah.
It's not pronounced accurately. That's okay. But we need them to express it and get that practice of doing that expression. Really important. Really important.
Oh, yeah. I like this, Michelle. Where were you 27 years ago when I brought my baby home? I would have loved to hear this information. Wow. It's so helpful. So for the parents that come to see you and work with you and bring their family to you to get help and to help your kids grow, what kind of questions are common from parents that come to see you? And what are some of the homework tips that you give parents to take home with them? Like we've already talked about reading your books properly. What other things can we do as dads to make things better for our kids learning to speak?
Well, one of the things that I often see is parents will either come to me or a lot of times I come to them or I see people virtually. And so I'm able to reach people all over the world. And so a lot of my business is virtually. And so what I see, a lot of times when I say, okay, let me see you play with your child, because that's really what it's about, is how you respond, how you say what you say to your child is making a huge difference, whether it's in reading with or playing or diapering, while you're giving a bath, while you're feeding. How you are engaging with that baby, toddler, child is making a difference. If you're sitting at the table eating and you're just eating and there's silence or there's screens on, that is not a connection.
Yeah.
That is. So first of all, and we can do a whole podcast on screens. So basically turn the screens off. Okay. Just don't. I could go into a whole thing. So just don't. And I know it's hard. And this next generation of bringing up children, that is what you're growing up with and seeing that in the restaurants. And you give that child a screen as soon as you sit down. Eating time, meal time, whether you're at home or in restaurants, that is a very important connection time for families. That is a time that you're all together in your day, not all scattered around and at school and in daycare and at work and whatever. And you are there together. And there aren't many times in your day that you have a chance, an opportunity to connect together. And so how you're connecting. So talk about what you're eating, depending. Okay, so going back to toddlers and young children, because that's really what I know, is talk about what you're eating while they're doing. Oh, I see that strawberry went in your mouth. And, you know, and so engage with them. I had parents that simply, I needed to change how they were sitting at the table because the positioning of the of how they were wasn't allowing for connection, because the dad was sitting and the table was against a wall, so that they're facing the wall. So the dad's sitting facing the wall, and the child who's 2.5 in this height share thing at the table is sitting to the left, right next to him.
Yeah.
Facing the wall.
Yeah.
So they're both eating facing the wall. So this goes back to my face to face.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I immediately, because the child was in the high chair, that's a good way for me to work with the child. So they kind of don't, they can't run away, and I get them really captivated there.
Yeah.
Is the very first thing is I took that high chair and I swung it around to the side of the corner. So that then it was on the corner, or, you know, we were kitty corner to each other. So that we face to face, I turned that high chair around basically to face to face me, because that way we are going to connect so much more. So in what I just said, you asked about like strategies and what to do. I just named a whole lot of strategies, just like I did with the, when we were talking about the other one, is that your positioning, the very first thing that you want to think about is how you can be face to face. So if you are walking, when you are walking with your child in the stroller, as we do, and we say, oh, wow, look at the dog. Look at that dog across the street. You have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody can see what you're doing right now, but what you're doing is you're looking all around. Where's the dog? What are you talking about?
What dog? What is a dog?
What is a dog? Especially if they don't even know yet. I have no idea. And so you can't connect that way. So if you want to show them the dog, which I think is great, instead of just walking, let's connect about things that we're seeing. Okay. Parents, get off of your phone while you're on the stroller, but again, not hitting the screens, just don't. don't give it to the child, and don't have it in your hand. I mean, there are studies that are being done for both parts that it is such a disconnection. Exactly what we're talking about. Disconnection, and the message that it sends to that child is that this is much more important for me to be taking pictures of selfies and being on my phone than engaging with you. And so I'm here to help you learn that engaging is very, very, very important during these first 5 years. And then how to engage in better ways that are going to make you feel more connected to your child. So stop that stroller, go bend down, go to the front of the stroller where that baby is, bend down so that you're face to face with them, and point at the dog and look together and reference each other so that you can look back and forth. And there's the dog, and you have that smile, maybe. And they say dog, and you say, it's a brown dog, and there it is, and it's walking. Oh, I see its tongue. Okay, there it goes. All right, here we go, on our way, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that's always, now my strategies are always about when you can apply them. Okay, so if you're strolling and you're going along and you're in a hurry and you're late for something, you don't have time for that. And so you can't apply my strategy there. I know that, you know. So these, you have to think about when you can, and you can apply them a lot more than people think. You know, are you really in a rush to get there? Or do you have an extra few minutes to stroll along and connect with your child in a different way?
Yeah.
So
I like it. Yeah, that's a great example. My mind goes back to pushing them along all the time. And you're always behind there. They can't even see you. There's like a a roof yes. over their head. Yep. They have no idea where you are. And
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's good.
And even the way that they're designed, I've looked at some solar, especially when kids, when parents have two kids, and so they need that double stroller.
Yeah.
Double strollers are made in very, very different ways. And some of them, you always really need to watch the new baby, the infant. So there's always like that infant part that's on top. So you can see that. But the other kid who's now like, you know, usually like two or three, or, you know, like you don't need to watch them anymore. And so they put that seat like down on the bottom underneath where, you know, the infant seat, which is all on top of them, and they're all like encased in something, and they're like smooshed, and they're like, okay, and this is how they ride around. They're like secondary now. And yeah. and like they can't see anybody or anything going on, you know. And, yeah. and it's the worst. So it's positioning again. And so I'm like, yeah. oh my gosh, that is the worst stroller mate. You know, I had two children at this point, I would be looking. So I'm designing my own stroller in my head, because yeah. it is so important to have the positioning, being aware of how you engage and how you might need to adapt your own self to engage.
Yeah.
There's another one. If a child is laying down reading a book, because some children like to do that.
Yeah.
You want to engage with them. That may not be the time for you to pick up the book and make them be face to face, because they're already comfortable. So what you can do is lie down across from them. Really, right. really easy. Or if they're playing toys, sometimes I'll do that and I'll get down on the floor. So I'm just keep going back to that face to face, that eye contact.
And yeah, lying down on the floor, you might find the remote at the same time, which is
you great. Might. You might. Right. Actually, what you find is a lot of things under people's couches.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That they probably didn't even know was there.
I love it. So on you have like multiple tools online to help parents as well, which I love. You have your main website. You have another website as well, Parenting 911. So can you kind of talk us through some of the online resources that you have available to your community? And maybe we can kind of point some people in your direction as well that way.
Yeah, nice can. So my company, I don't even know if I mentioned it.
No.
I think I've mentioned my company. It's called Baby Blooming Moments. And it is about enriching and engaging those birth to 5 years, and learning how to respond and how to help that brain development and all those really wonderful things that we want to do. On the other hand, what I'm finding as I'm going out now and getting clients after COVID is that children are actually having like a post-pandemic syndrome. Babies and toddlers that were born or living during that COVID time don't know how to be social, and don't know to a point where there's behaviors, they're hitting, they're biting, they are not listening, they're running around, parents are just pulling their hair out. I've got kids that are getting kicked out of preschool.
Wow.
And more and more. And the preschool teachers don't know what to do. And daycare providers are saying, you can't bring your child anymore. So I can't even really get to the enriching part, because children are really a lot about out of control right now. So I've developed Parenting 911. And it is just another branch of helping with these behaviors, because the behaviors have to be helped and supported and calmed down. We have to put these fires out before we can get to how we can read lovely with them, because what they're doing is they're throwing the book, and they're, you know, and so we're not even getting to do that. So Parenting 911 is about a lot of behavior strategies. So your child is showing some defiance, even aggression. You don't know what to do. I give presentations to groups. So if preschools or daycares want a virtual presentation to get some ideas on what they can do to help in their school. And I also, of course, work one-on-one with families or groups of families that want some support. So I provide strategies in each of our meetings. And then you go and you apply those strategies for the week. And then we come and we meet a week later. We see how those are going. Do we need to tweak them, or are you ready for different ones? And that's basically how both baby blooming moments and parenting 911 work, as like weekly meetings, sometimes not bi-weekly, like twice a week if people need it. Because we have to get control. And you know, I'm just not like making this up. There are studies, and they're on my website about how the pandemic affected these birth to 5 year olds, because nobody really thought about how it affected those young ones. Yeah. We're all concerned about, you know, elementary school and high school, you know, babies, what, you know, they're just babies. Well, there's a lot of skills. We just talked about it for about half an hour, how important the birth to 5 years are. Actually, the most important, because they are what you are going to become. And they were not focused on. And that's where they were given the screens, because everybody was in a panic and they didn't know what to do. So all the youngest ones were pretty much ignored or put to the side, because we had to deal with, you know, what are we doing on Zoom and who's doing this and all that. And so the easier one thing was just to give the kids a pacifier. That's what they have all done, Binky. Okay. Because a lot of more kids are using pacifiers now, because that's what helped them before. You just did anything to pacify them and keep them quiet by themselves. And so now we're bringing them out to the world, and they've never been to a grocery store before. And we're all here, deal with the world, right? And you'll be fine. And guess what? They're not fine. And now there's a lot of problems, and parents and everybody, a lot of pediatricians don't know what to do. Everybody's in a panic, because this is kind of like a new, I'm calling it a syndrome. Because it's everywhere, and parents don't, and a lot of people don't realize that it might be because of this. I don't want to put all in the eggs in one basket, that it's all because of COVID. There are definitely other reasons, but whatever the reasons are, the behaviors are happening, and parents need help. So that's where I'm here to put out those fires.
So I have your website up on the screen while we're chatting, so I'm kind of following along as you mentioned things. What else? What other resources can we find on your website that are great for parents that you would send them to as a first-time visitor to your site?
Great. Yeah, I just actually put my resources and page up just recently. So I know I have a wonderful company on there, I hope.
I'm following along here as you do this, yeah.
Okay. So is Shushu on there? I think so. Shushu.
I believe so, yeah.
Shushu. Yeah, Shushu. So this is a wonderful company. It was developed by a child. So that's what I love so much, is that he went to a school where they took their shoes off before they went into the class. It was a Montessori school. And then he went, and so everything was clean. And then he went to another school and they kept their shoes on, because that's where most schools do. And everything's dirty, you know, the carpet and everything, everywhere you're walking. And then you're supposed to sit on the rug, and he didn't like that. And so he came up with a product that he runs with his mother called Shushu. And they're basically covers for your shoe that you can put on. But there are a lot of covers like that that you can do, like doctors wear them to surgery, but they are throwaways. And this child was very environmental conscious. So these are reusable, and you wash them. So they are thicker. They are comfortable. They come in all sorts of cute little designs, and they are reusable. So anyway, so Shushu's on there, which I absolutely love. I have the Nanny Doctor on there. If people have nannies, and nannies is actually it's like a business, but it's not thought of as a business. And so the Nanny Doctor helps you walk through those business. Does your nanny, is she supposed to get a vacation? How much time is that? Do you want the nanny to bathe your child? So help work out all the logistics that goes behind the scene that sometimes you need somebody else to help you walk through that with your nanny and have like a third person so that you're like, you know what? Should I be giving them a Christmas bonus? I don't know. Who do I ask? The nanny doctor.
Of course.
So so she's there for those services. And I also have another nanny company, Connections.
Yep.
Okay.
Connection Nannies. Yep.
Nannies. Yeah. So, because nannies are very, very important, as they are often in Southern California, which is where I'm from, the ones that are actually spending the most time with these children birth to five. So we want them to know all these wonderful strategies and all these wonderful things. So if families are searching for nannies and they want to have a fit, a nice match with them, there are things that you can find online and you read reviews and interview with them. But this company, what you do with Jolie is she helps you really listen to what your needs are, what your child's needs are, and helps find that right match for you instead of just kind of relying on what's going on online these days. So she's great to connect you as well.
So I love it.
I think resources, but those are some that come to mind at the moment.
Yeah, there's books, there's music, there's puzzles and games. There's so many things
on
here.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. I just put those new ones on. But yes, those that I have had for a long time, I do have names of books. If you want to know some great books, and they're separated at different levels, different pages. I do. I'm going to add more to it, more services to it. But there are some services, and I will be continuing to add to that. So thank you. I do have other music songs. I think nursery rhymes.
Yep.
So yeah, I do have a good resource page. Thank you.
It's amazing. It's well done. Now we did have you on Living the Next Chapter to talk about your book.
Yes.
And that was exciting to have you there. For the dads that haven't heard that episode yet, what I'd love to kind of do is, again, they can get more depth in that episode, and I'll have a link to go and listen to you there because you really unpacked the rationale behind the book and why it's important. But the one thing I'd love to kind of touch on is the oral health around having a pacifier.
Yes.
And how it impacts speech.
Yes.
If we can kind of just summarize our conversation there for the dads.
Sure.
And then we'll send them over to get more information. But
absolutely.
I really think that's important. And the idea that maybe there's a dad listening who is a dentist or knows a dentist or have been to a dentist, that your book should be on the desk in the waiting room for parents to see that. So can we talk about that a little bit as well here on DadSpace?
Yes. Thank you. So I wrote All Done Binky because it's really geared for children starting at about 6 or 8 months to read to them, because we need to have them get rid of a pacifier, because the way that you suck on a pacifier changes, it could change the shape of your mouth and your teeth. And so that's a lot why pediatric dentists say we want to get rid of that binky and that passy, because it could affect their teeth, the way that the tongue thrusts forward. And what it does often affect is the speech production, because the tongue then has been used to be thrusting forward with that sucking motion. And so with the pacifier out of their mouth, the tongue is used to coming forward. And so sounds are produced incorrectly. And so that's where I come in as a speech therapist and needing to help the sound production and replace where the tongue goes, because the sound production is not coming out and so you can't understand their words. So it's important to stop that kind of sucking motion. Especially important, what happens is they start to learn to talk. So we're talking about, 1 year old, they're starting some words, but they're at 18 months, hopefully 2 years, they're putting words together. If they have that binky or that pacifier in their mouth while they're talking, that is even worse, because the tongue, all the places that need to happen, the tongue, the cheeks, the lips, they can't go where they really need to go to produce the sounds correctly. And so then you're really getting messed up. So it's important to pull that plug, but you need to find some sort of soothing item to replace it with. So, and that's, you can find more information on the other podcast. So we talked about that. But that's the important reason for, as you said, for oral care for the placement, because it affects the speech.
Amazing. So, having you here, Michelle, is great. You have a great, again, great resources on your website, the book, everything. You're there to help parents. I love that. As we close off our conversation today here on Dad Space, any kind of parting words that you can, you have an audience of dads here listening, where we want to do great for our kids. We don't just want to be the rough and tumble part of parenting. Yeah. We want to be that caring, loving, nurturing dad that is maybe different than how we were raised. We want to do really well with our kids, Michelle. So your parting words for us, how do we show up better for our partners, for our kids? How do we show up great as a dad? Anything you can kind of leave us with that we can do as homework this week? Come on.
I love that, because a lot of dads just kind of like throw their kids up in the air, you know, that little toddler, throw them up and down and do rough and tough stuff with them. So for all those, is to like calm your body and listen to your child. And what that means is watching what they're allowing them to initiate some communication to you and following up on that. And so that you become more of the responder and the listener to respond to them. Oh, I see you stretch your arms. You look like you're so tired. And not just saying, oh, you're tired, let's go to bed. And so that you're really connecting and you're there. And I'm going to go again, that face-to-face is he's being present. And so when you come home, if you're coming home after work and you're like, that's the time that you get to connect with your child. Think about doing my reading strategy. Think about spending that time. Actually, before the bedtime is a good time to rough and tumble. That's a whole different thing. We can talk about that, podcast, believe it or not. But being there, being present is number one, making time to really be present.
Yeah. I love the value, Michelle, just about having that face-to-face. Like, as you're talking, again, the stroller, reading, and your kids are looking up over their shoulder to see your mouth. Like, I can just see parents that are going, without Michelle saying it, I would have never even considered it. I wouldn't even have thought about that and why that's so important. So if somebody walks away from this episode and simply changes that behavior and gets that more one-on-one face-to-face with their children, I think we've all hit a huge home run. Just in that.
I think so. Absolutely. And then there's more strategies beyond that, but that's the first one you have to do. And then we build from there increasing attention and language. But the very first thing is that you've got to be looking at one another. And then there's so much more to know. So
it's amazing.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you're like, Michelle just gave me so much value, you need to go thank her by going to her website and connecting with her. I see a Connect with Michelle button right on top of the website. Reach out to Michelle and spend some time thanking her and asking your questions. She's there for you. And you just got the beginning. We just got you in the door. Now you can spend time with Michelle and learn much more through the resources, the book, and just having her in your corner as a parent. I know kids don't come with a manual, but we also then have Michelle. So you can also go to Michelle, who can be your manual and help you to connect with your kids and help them to learn how to speak and express themselves with words. And it's great, Michelle. I just love having you on the show. Thank you for making time to do this.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I love dads that want to be involved. I have so many dads that don't, and they don't understand it. So those that want it and are looking for it, definitely connect with me. Feel free to write a Google review if you liked this podcast. I always love reviews. I give free 30-minute consultations. So there's really no reason not to contact me so that I can get a little bit more personal about you and your family. Just connect with me, Michelle@babybloomingmoments.com, or right on my website. There you go.
Yeah. That's right there. So simple. So easy.
Well, Instagram. Got lots of great videos on there of little clips of other little strategies. So at Baby Blooming Moments is where you'll find me pretty much on all the TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, all, you know, everywhere.
You have no excuse.
Yep.
Michelle's everywhere. Find her.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thanks.
Excellent, Michelle. Thank you so much for being on Dad Space. Glad to have you here.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Dad Space today. I'm so thankful that you were here for this episode. If you like the show, please let another dad know. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyways, share the episode out with somebody in your circle who would love Dad Space. That means so much to us here, for our guests who donate their time to be on the show. And we just want to see this grow. So, again, another rhyme. Oh, wow. Anyhow, I think I need to write a song or something. Thank you for being here with Dad Space. And again, looking forward to the next episode. Look forward to having you here again with us. And if we can help you in any way, if you have a great guest idea for the show, a topic that you would love us to cover, we would love to do that here on Dad Space. So thanks for listening, and thanks for being part of the community. And to you, Dad, thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing Dad Space. Catch you on the next one. Take care.